Eliot says, "I believe there is such a thing as self-esteem and self-image, but I do not think that it is something that you and I ought to be paying much attention to. Life is too short for that, as far as I'm concerned. I would much rather use the energy and the time that I have and direct it towards knowing God, worshiping God, loving God, and daily praying that He will make me much more like Himself." Welcome to Gateway to Joy.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking today with my daughter, Valerie Shepherd, from California. Such a pleasure when the two of us can get together. It's kind of rare. And Val has many things to say that I need to hear. And today, Val, you're going to be talking about what?
Self-pity.
Self-pity. Self-pity is satanic, I believe.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So tell us what you have to say.
First of all, if we are children of God, we know that we have a Heavenly Father who is infinitely wiser than we are and loves us so much that He knows exactly what we need for our growth in grace, for our sanctification. And He knows what trials can be used and will be used for our good and for His glory. So I think I want to challenge people to, first of all, believe the truth that they are children of God. If they are Christians, they are children of God, and their Heavenly Father gives to them and allows for them whatever is right and will bring glory to Him. So if we have a hard situation that we are in, not to be full of self-pity, not to be thinking, my situation is unique, nobody has ever had this kind of trouble before, and so I must do something about it, but rather to think in terms of, thank You, Lord, that You have entrusted this trial to me because You wanted to test my faith and You wanted to see if I could be thankful, obedient, and a trusting child.
It reminds me of that beautiful hymn that many of our listeners know, I trust. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, Thou hast taught me to say,
it is well with my soul.
Yes, there are times of peace and times of sorrow. In either case, we are to accept what God has given us without complaining about our lot.
Mm-hmm. And in this day and age, we are told by the world that we need to dwell on our past, we need to dig it up, and we need to deal with it. Well, Paul says, forgetting what lies behind, I press on for the prize of the mark of the high calling of Christ. And it is wrong to dwell on something that happened to us in the past. We may need to deal with it in simply giving it up, giving it to the cross, giving it to Christ, and saying, thank You, Lord, that I am Your child, and You have forgiven me, and you can forgive the person that did something wrong to me, but I am not going to dwell on how to get even or how this thing should affect my life every day. I think there's too much that we hear that because we're victims of something that happened to us in the past, then therefore we are inadequate to serve or we're incomplete in some way. And we are complete in the Lord. The Lord, when He saves us, makes us whole again. And He wants to give us, He makes us a new creation. We are new creatures, and therefore the old has passed away.
I think there's a very subtle lure that comes from our enemy, the devil, to make us feel that we're in a special category and that we are very complicated people. We're really very deep and complicated. And so we've got to spend weeks, months, perhaps years, working through whatever this problem was that we think we had in the past. And I don't find that anywhere in the scriptures. And of course, psychology and psychiatry are very new in this century, really. There never was such a thing until 100 years ago or so. And I just wonder what Christians were doing before they were told that they needed to work through things and dredge up all sorts of memories that perhaps were not even real memories, but imagined. But I couldn't agree with you more.
And I think we need to memorize and know this verse in our hearts from 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it.
I hadn't thought of that. I was glad that you quoted the other words about forgetting those things which are behind. How can we do that? By choosing to do it, by just leaving it at the foot of the cross. That is where Jesus dealt with all the sin of the world. As F.W.H. Myers puts it in his wonderful poem called St. Paul, desperate tides of a whole world's anguish forced through the channels of a single heart. And my sorrows and my trials and your sorrows and the sins and everything else were a part of that desperate tide, but it went through his heart and does just what you're telling us, redeems us, delivers us, saves us.
I know in my own life when I have started to feel sorry for myself because of my sin, because I think I'm never going to get over or past a particular weakness in my character, my husband reminds me that I am a child of God and that he's even allowing me to see my weakness so that his power may rest upon me, so that I may be totally dependent upon what Christ can do through me instead of thinking that I have got to get this together in my own flesh, I've got to get this straight. And when I've seen myself do the same thing over and over again, it could be yelling at the children. When I've made over and over again, I've made a resolve that I will not yell anymore. And I find my anger rise and I find myself frustrated and my voice begins to rise. And at the same moment that I'm starting to raise my voice, there's an inner, still, small voice that reminds me that that is not the way to speak to my children. And so I'll get discouraged. I'll be full of self-pity that I have done this again. And I will cry, and my husband will say, "You're forgetting that you're a child of God, that he promises to pour his grace through, and he promises to help you. So go back to him again. Confess it again. Go back and say, I need you to control me. I need you to help me with my thoughts and help me to be motivated by love rather than motivated by my own set of rules that if they are being broken, I think the world has come to an end. There's no way that these children are going to learn to grow up in the Lord, to serve him, to glorify him, if they can't get this one little thing straight. For example, they're not to play after breakfast. They are excused from the table and they are to go get their teeth brushed and come back to me and say, is there anything that I can do for you, Mama, before we start school? 8:30 is our time when we have family devotional time, when I lead it because Walt is gone. And so between 8 and 8:30, they are supposed to be available to me, or if I tell them to, they're supposed to be playing with Theo and Sarah. And over and over and over again, they forget that they are supposed to come do this. And so I'm just giving an example of how my frustration rises because I'm motivated by my schedule, my rules, and I'm forgetting the love of Christ. I'm forgetting that they will learn eventually, and they are still children, and the love of Christ will eventually help them to be reminded of what they are supposed to do.
And of course, we should remember how patient the Lord is with us.
With us, right.
We are His children, and He's merciful and patient and gracious, and He is helping us. And you are helping your children daily, one day at a time, to understand these rules and to live an ordered life.
Mm-hmm.
And God is not the author of confusion. But it is line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little, as the Word of God says.
I think we as mothers have to accept the fact that that's part of mothering, is to repeat. And if we're motivated by Christ's love, then there's no end to the number of times we can repeat, but with gentleness and with a loving spirit. Of course, because of our sin, we get out of control, and we're not motivated by His love. We're motivated by this desire to be in control ourselves, our own flesh wanting to be in control. And that's what brings self-pity so often, is that we can't do it by ourselves.
The Lord tells us in Jeremiah, "I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." If we think of Him as a hard master and ourselves as hopeless cases, let's remember those words, that His thoughts toward us are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end, and how marvelously patient and kind He is in teaching us the lessons that we need to learn. Thank you, Val, for being with me today. The subject of self-pity, it's a warning to all of us. I don't suppose there's any one of us that's not tempted over and over again to feel very sorry for ourselves. Somebody hurt me, somebody said something nasty, somebody didn't thank me, whatever. Give it to God.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.